New Perspectives Open Pitch presents Memoirs of a Little 'Un, a 10-part collection of heartwarming stories and reminiscences of growing up in rural England during the 60s by Chrissy Payne. Part 4. Bath Cubes and Baubles.
When I was a child, the countdown to Christmas started on December the 1st. Unlike the current trend of Christmas greeting cards appearing in the shops whilst you're still wearing flip-flops and have a healthy summer tan. Having embraced all the autumn traditions of harvest, Halloween and bonfire night, the magical season of Christmas is the highlight of our year. Like most large families, we were 7 girls, although my eldest sister Jean was already married and had left home. We don't have money to spare on lavish gifts, but what we lack in funds, we make up for with ingenuity. Each early winter evening, eager to get the tea time dishes cleared from the table, my older sisters and I get our Christmas crafting underway. Mum would bring a large bag of inexpensive bath crystals from the chemist, and we'd decant these into circles of old fabric, using a dinner plate as a template, cutting around it with pinking shears. Once drawn together and tied with a pretty ribbon, they look stunning. My own special Christmas gift for my 6 older sisters is an individual bath cube wrapped in a lace handkerchief. Nothing is wasted, and last year's Christmas cards would appear as parcel labels, cut to shape, carefully following a big fat robin or a jolly Santa. Best of all is decorating the pine cones. Nature's bounty provided us with a wonderful harvest, and well over half a century later, I still love to collect them, and am reminded of the slow dawdle home from school with pockets bulging from cones collected under a great canopy of giant pine trees. A sheet of newspaper is placed on the old kitchen table, and after a liberal coating of glue, I sprinkle the pine cones with glitter, taking great care not to waste any of the precious gold dust. The month of December is a mixture of fervent activity and dreaming. Each day, something is happening, and a fanatical anticipation fills the air. Christmas card and letter here from Cousin Pauline in Canada. Are you saving the postage stamp? Mother inquires. It was indeed a time of simple pleasures. The shop windows in our little town look more inviting than ever. Matkins have all the annuals, and the latest craze is a painting by numbers set. We all want one, and it is the top of our Christmas lists. My sister Susie wants the Laughing Cavalier, but Mum thinks she should start off with something a bit simpler. Perhaps a cottage scene or a litter of puppies. After careful consideration over a number of weeks, our lists for Father Christmas are ready.
Are the lists ready? Has Little 'Un done hers? Father inquires.
With great excitement, we all gather around the open fire, and Father, who is the biggest kid of us all, floats them up the chimney.
If you're quick, you'll see them being collected.
We younger girls would screech and stumble over each other in our rush to get out of the back door and hopefully catch a glimpse of magic in the frosty night air. Each year, my father takes it upon himself to supply and dress the Christmas tree for our lovely old church dedicated to All Saints.
Time to choose the tree, Little 'Un.
And off we go in the Ford Consul to select a tree gifted to us from the Colonel, who resides in the great mansion house some 2 miles out of town. A beautiful bushy tree would be selected, although a more modest specimen than the Trafalgar Square type. Father protects the car roof with an old blanket and secures the cargo with a rope. Concerned that the whole congregation might not get the full effect of the tree, Father cuts a large star from hardboard, paints it silver, and then cuts a hole in the centre big enough for a substantial light bulb. When switched on, it looks amazing. Our Christmases really were homespun affairs. By now, you must be thinking how wonderful Father was, that he's too good to be true. Well, in many ways you'd be right, and he was only human, and after all, with all the comings and goings in a totally female household, what he most enjoyed was a pint or two at the White Lion. One particular Christmas Eve, I had gone to bed in the old nursery, which I shared with Susie and Jacqueline. My other older sisters each have a bedroom of their own. Denise has the box room, the walls and ceiling of which are entirely covered with posters of the Rolling Stones. On one occasion, when she had a home visit from Dr. Purdy, as she was suffering with mumps, he opened the bedroom door and refused point blank to see her until she was moved to more suitable surroundings. The tradition in our house was to leave a pillowcase downstairs by the Christmas tree, where we applied our names with a laundry pen. I remember vividly waking early on Christmas morning and feeling the weight of the filled pillowcase on my feet, brightly coloured parcels cascading over the bottom of the bed. "He's been! He's been!" Whoops of delight come from each bedroom as each of us stir. "Let's take turns," suggests Jackie. "One parcel each." "Blow that," replies Susie, already tucking into a bounty bar from a chocolate selection box. I open my first parcel and I'm intrigued. "What is it, little'un?" Susie inquires excitedly. "It says it's a panty girdle." At about the same time, my sister Sandra, who is courting seriously and saving for her bottom drawer, groans from her bedroom. "I really think I've gone beyond a touch tapestry set. I was more hoping for a fondue set." Of course, you've guessed. Father Christmas had clearly dropped into the White Lion for directions and somehow become very muddled when he reached our house. We draw a halt to proceedings, and I wander into my parents' bedroom. It's still dark, and a dull winter morning hasn't yet penetrated the old heavy quilted curtains. By the comforting little light of the tea's made, I demand an explanation. Waving the panty girdle at my slumbering dad, who submerges himself even further under the eiderdown, decorated with huge roses, so reminiscent of the 60s. "It's not like Father Christmas to get it wrong. I don't need a flatter silhouette," I say. The response is a groan muffled by the heap of bedclothes. Mother comes to the rescue. "Father Christmas is very busy. He's under a lot of pressure. I think he does very well to remember all you girls. I'm not surprised he gets muddled occasionally." My sister, Denise, comes into the room. "This is my pillowcase, but I'm sure this is little'un's." As I eagerly unwrap the box, I genuinely have no idea of its contents. The glossy paper tumbles to the floor, revealing my very own little red Vulcan sewing machine. And to this day, it still remains my all-time favourite Christmas gift. Christmas is all about tradition. I still gather pine cones, although sadly bath cubes are a thing of the past. And now, when I dress my tree, those familiar old baubles of Christmases long past are still lovingly unpacked each year. A few are a little tarnished, and as such are relegated to the lower branches. But they always get an airing. And for me, are an annual reminder
of really wonderful family times. The end.
Bath Cubes and Baubles by Chrissy Payne was performed by Juanita McMahon, with sound design by Adam P. McCready, supported using public funding from Arts Council England. It's produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company's Open Pitch, a unique community programme that showcases extraordinary stories from across the East Midlands.